Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. Excited about today. We've got a little bit different service than we usually have, so things is always better when you swap them up a little bit. Excited about our cancer ministry that we are going to get started. We've had, you know, Pat and Misty was down in Noonan for 2 days learning about how to start our cancer ministry, and they are full of knowledge now. They are all learned in this thing, and Pat got her 2%. She absorbed 2% of it, and they said it was a really good time. Had a good time down there and learned a lot of how to help us. And we're going to hear a little bit from them today. We're going to hear a little bit from Miss Robbie from Hearts, and we'll see how time goes. We'll let the Lord lead, and how He leads, that's what we'll do. So as far as prayer requests this morning, we have any prayer requests need to go before the Lord? Can you pray for the baby as she continues to improve, still having some issues, but continue to remember her? We have also have an exciting time, a service tonight. We'll be having baptism service for Dalton. He'll be baptized, and thank God for that decision to follow the Lord, to accept Jesus as his Savior, and looking forward to that service tonight. So y'all come back and be with us. We'll start that at 5, and so be much in prayer for him. So he starts, I remember when I was first saved, right after that, the enemy starts on you hard. So be praying for him and be there for him. And, Kim's devotion this morning was great. How those sunflowers look to one another, how we should look to one another too for strength and help. So any others this morning? Ask you to remember Maudie. She'll be going tomorrow to the doctor. Remember my mother. Is she still taking treatments and pretty weak. But I ask you to remember her. And I know there's many others. Can you remember Peggy? She's here with us today, but still a little weak. You can tell she ain't her crazy self yet. It'll come back, but continue to remember her. Any others? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. God, we thank you for opportunity to be in your house. God, we thank you for each one that's come out to this day. And God, we ask that you touch in this service, and Lord, the ones that'll speak. God, we pray that you let us open our hearts and minds to see the needs that's in our county and how we may minister to these people who are suffering from cancer, the ones, the caregivers, the family members. God, is how we know firsthand of how it affects you. Lord, we ask today that you truly give them the strength. And we know we can't always understand it. We can't make sense of it. But God, let us trust your ways perfect. Lord, this baby that we've been praying for, God, we continue to pray for her. And God, ask that you heal her body. Lord, we pray for all that's sick and afflicted in our area, God, in our communities. And Lord, most of all today, we thank you for a Savior. We thank you for forgiveness in your Son, and the Lord, the cleansing power that's still in the blood. And Lord, we ask you today, if there's one in our midst, that something said, something that's in a song, something preached, something, anything today that's mentioned the name of Jesus, that hearts would be open, that you would draw them to yourself, and that you would save them before it's everlasting too late. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all is dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
A new creation coming. Is the glory of the Lord to be a light within our midst?
Greater is the one.
Through the promised land, what a day.
Appreciate that singing this morning. Appreciate everyone in attendance. Like I told you, we've got a little different thing on tap for today than we usually do. And excited for what God's doing. Backtrack a little bit to Bible school this year. As those of y'all know, we always raise money. We give them incentive to bring offering, and we don't use it for ourselves here at the church. In previous years, we've used it to buy Christmas for families and different things throughout the community. But this year, the Lord had laid on Pat's heart to raise this money and give it to our something to do with cancer. And of course, those of y'all know that we've had those in the church diagnosed with cancer this year. And you hear that news and it's bad and you feel for the families, but you never really understand until it hits your family. Hits close. I had grandparents that's passed of cancer. My dad's mother died of breast cancer. My mother's daddy, he passed away from brain cancer. He has lung cancer before, but brain cancer is what he finally died of. And those is tough. I was younger and already married. My grandfather died, and that was tough to go through. But on March 18th, we got news that forever changes things. My mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it becomes real at that point. And I remember back this morning's a time when I was thinking about what to do today. Remember back to a time when I first started preaching, Bobby Garner had a thing at his lake where his cabin was, where Clark lives now. And Bobby had it for Relay for Life. They had a big gathering over there with a lot of people and had music groups over there to sing and different things for fundraiser. And they asked me some reason to speak. I was brand new, hadn't been preaching very long. And the Lord laid this same scripture upon my heart, and I read it over there. And I had people keep talking about what it meant to them. And I didn't really understand it that great at the time, but in John chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said," now listen to this, "when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This sickness is not unto death. It's what I preached over there that day, and I was nervous. I remember stuttering and stammering and how nervous I was, and but it didn't mean as much to me as it does today. I realized that a lot of people that's diagnosed with cancer, we know the outcome of it a lot of times. They do pass away from this life. But I believe the meaning to this verse is it's not unto death. For if we belong to the Lord, if we're saved by the miraculous blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can separate us from life. Nothing. Might separate us from life on this earth as we know it, but this is temporal anyway. If you're diagnosed with cancer, and I pray, God, if you are, I pray you're not, but if you do, I pray that you are healed and you get a time to enjoy your family. But the sad news of it is, at some point, if the Lord tarries, He's coming, whether you're healed of cancer or not, you are going to die. You're going to die physically. It's not fun to think about, but it's the truth today. But also the truth is, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, never will you die spiritually. You will live forever according to the Word of God. You'll live eternally. God always has been, always will be. And you're given the same strength through His Son that He's got. And you'll never perish. You'll never perish. There'll never be another death. So thank God for that. And that's just some scriptures that meant a lot for me. If you know the story of that, how it says Jesus tarried certain days. And it looked like old Lazarus was gone, didn't it? And as Jesus come to the grave and He called His name, He got up and He came out. What power was in that name and is in Jesus speaking His name. But I want you to see something else, and then we'll have Sister Robbie come forward. But it says the sickness wasn't to death, but it was for the glory of God. The glory of God. If you've ever stepped foot to the Cancer Center of America in Noonan, you'll understand a little bit of what it's talking about. For the glory of God. I know people, family members, who was diagnosed with cancer and come to know the Lord through the cancer. I've heard testimonies of how God has blessed people that have been diagnosed with cancer. And on and on and on, how God's got the glory. That's what the sickness is for. For the glory of God. You say, well, He must be a jealous God. He is. Not like me and you understand. He desires all of our praise and all of our honor because He's worthy. We sang it this morning. He's worthy. Robbie, you come on. And as she's coming up, I'm going to take this time to tell you, as our Bible school took up money, and this is what we decided to donate it to, was a Hearts Cancer Relief Services. And if you remember back then, we had a jail set up over here, and Pat was placed in jail. And she was charged with making fun of me, the sheriff. And we know that we brought money every night and to get her out, and how it looked like we wouldn't go on to make our, we had $500 of bail money set up, $500. We thought there's no way Pat's going to stay in jail, and I was looking forward to it, of her being in jail all year. But at the end of that thing, we wound up with $720. And we're going to donate it to Hearts Cancer Relief Services. And Robbie Mobley's going to tell us about what they do and how to do that. And Robbie, we'd like to present this to the Cancer Relief.
Thank you. We'll put it to good use. We try real hard to be good stewards of what God blesses us with. And I just kind of wanted to share with you a little bit this morning about how we do that and how we help those in the community with what we're given. First of all, I want to share my story of cancer. Mine was not personal. Well, it was in a way, but it wasn't me. About 7 years ago, my mother, someone that was very near and dear to me, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she was probably the most godly, God-fearing, disciplinarian, loving person that you'll ever meet. She was my rock. And for us to get that diagnosis, it hit us like a ton of rocks. We had never really had to deal with that in the past up until this point. But lo and behold, she, being the strong person that she was, she fought it like a true trooper. She went through the initial surgery. She went through chemo, radiation. And I know firsthand how that takes a toll on the body physically. This very strong spiritual person became very feeble, very dependent on other people. She was always self-dependent, self-reliant. Now, God was number one in her life, but she was a strong woman, and she was such a fighter. By the end of radiation, she was worn down, physically, emotionally, spiritually. She was worn down, and it took the church to help hold her up and build her up, and the friends that she had, and her pastor, and her family, and bringing everybody back to her to get her through that time. Well, she, praise the Lord, survived. About a year later, we got a clean bill of health, and she was on the road back to recovery. Every 6 months, she'd go back for her mammograms, just like she was supposed to. Never had any other sign of cancer. And then 3 years ago, It was at Christmas. We noticed something was a little different. Something was a little off about Mama. She wasn't moving as fast as she used to be. And in a period of about a month's time, she couldn't even get up and down. We were having to help her shuffle across the house. Within another month, she had lost all feeling in her lower extremities. She couldn't move. She couldn't get up and down. And the doctors were a little baffled. They didn't know at first what was the cause from it. By the 1st of April, we had to have home health come in and take care of her. And again, the doctors were running all of these tests. They were trying their best to figure out what was going on. And there was nothing they could do for her. And she kept getting worse and worse and worse. She had fallen a couple of times. She hit her head and broke her jawbone with one fall. And we went to Dad and said, Daddy, it's time. There are seven of us. I come from a very large family. And they were scattered everywhere. And we said, Dad, it's time. We've got to get more help from Mom. We cannot help get her up out of the floor when she falls. We can't help her move from place to place. And, of course, he couldn't either. My mom at the time was 83. My dad was 84. And so we knew, and he knew, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, is to tell him that we've got to put Mom in the hospital. He said, she's going to fight you. She's going to fight you tooth and nail, and she's not going to let you do it. And I said, well, Daddy, we've prayed about it. We really feel like this is what we need to do. And he said, all right, but you're telling her. I said, okay. So I went in there, and I said, all right, Mom, this is what's going on. We need more help than what we have here. And she said, okay, call them and, you know, get me help. She was to that point, even though she was a strong believer and she knew God had it, she and God had this, she was to that point of she knew that God was opening other doors. She didn't know at the time the type of ministry she would have from that point. But it's amazing how God can turn something that is so painful into something that is so wonderful for so many people. And that's exactly what he did for my mom. She went from hospital to hospital for about 3 months' time. We spent, and this was 3 years ago, we spent 3 months from, we started at Tanner. They sent us to Emory because they had no idea what was going on. From Emory, they sent her down to UAB, the training hospital, for them to try and decide what was going on. No one had any answers. Well, they sent her back to Emory. And Emory, thank the Lord for the wonderful surgeons and the smart doctors that were there, determined that she had what was called transverse myelitis that was caused from the cancer cells that had lodged into her spinal cord. And she had two different lesions on her spinal cord, one down below that affected the vertebrae that dealt with the lower extremities, and then one on the upper vertebrae that dealt with her mind. So within 3 months' time, it went from being paralyzed from the legs down, or really from the waist down, to going up into her brain. But I can tell you, and she would tell you, that that was probably one of the best things that ever happened for our family, because it brought all of our family back together. One of my brothers that I had not seen in a couple of years, nobody knew where he was. Mother had tried to call him, and he wouldn't call back. And so, you know, being the good daughter that I am, I tried to call everybody and get them there with Mom, because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the diagnosis was going to be, what the treatment plan was going to be. We had no idea. So it brought us all back together, and we actually got along for the first time in many, many years. But that was one of Mom's last requests, was, you know, she wanted to see all of her boys and all of her girls together. And so even though in the midst of this horrible disease and the toll that it took on her body and the prayers that we prayed, that I really believe, even though God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to for my mom, I believe he answered her prayers. And in the end, she's exactly where she wants to be. We know that. And without a shadow of a doubt, one of those songs that you sang earlier, the hymnal, that was one of my mom's favorite ones. And I just squalled. because that reminds me, I have such wonderful memories of my mother, and some of the best ones came from that hospital room. We laughed so hard, times that we'd never had before with Mama, and it was wonderful. And the day, the morning that we lost her, that we let her go, you know, we told her, she was such a fighter, she fought right up to the end until we told her, it's okay, we got this, we got Daddy, we got the boys, we can take care of this, it's going to be okay. And within 30 minutes, she was so peaceful, and it was like, okay. And I knew from that moment on, she's with God. She's running across the clouds, which is what she always told us she would do, watching over us, interceding for us with Jesus. We know that's where she's at to this day. So that, my perspective comes from a caregiver perspective. I know what it's like to go through what you go through and to see that suffering and that pain. But cherish these times that you have right now with Mom, because you can't get them back. This is a time that you'll get so much closer in your family. As caregivers, we need the support of your family and family members and the support of a loving church family to help get you through those late nights and those tough situations when nothing makes sense. You know, Mom had beat it one time, and then here it comes again. Understanding, I quit asking for understanding. God knows, and we just have to trust that it's His purpose and His will to be done. And that's one of the hardest prayers I've ever had to pray. God, Your will, not mine. Take over this situation. And that's what happened. That's my story of it. As a caregiver, you guys rock. They depend on you so much on a day-to-day basis. I can tell you story after story. You see it firsthand here, but story after story of the people that we've helped in this community, the people that through your generosity has helped make a difference in their lives. We don't help. You know, Hearts is known for helping, you know, the low income, the ones that are on the poverty level, possibly. We have all types that come in to see us. When cancer hits, you never know. You may be struggling financially. And then when cancer hits, those astronomical bills, I know Mama's bills were over $1 million, and thank the good Lord for insurance. But that didn't pay it all. You know, we still, you know, owed about $20,000 after insurance paid on top of all of that. Plus the treatment to and from. You know, if you have to go to treatment, chemo, every day for 6 weeks, and your treatment center may not be in Anniston. It may be in Noonan. It may be at UAB. We deal with all of those guys. That gets expensive. Expenses incur really quickly. They add up really quickly. And you may make a really good living, but if you're hit with that, we have one patient that had, bless his heart, he had a heart attack. 2 weeks later, he had a stroke. 2 weeks later, he was diagnosed with cancer. Now, at that point in time, they had no funds. They were on empty. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, they were drained. And they came through the door with tears. Our clients come in, they cry, we cry with them. Because it hits home. I'm very passionate about this particular program. We have lots of them out there. But this one really hit home with my mom. It hit home. When it hits your family, as Chad said, that's when it really starts making a difference in your lives. And you start seeing things a little differently, from a different perspective. I want to give you a little bit of information about Hearts. You know, our goal with this ministry is to improve the quality of life for our patients. In the past 6 years, the cancer ministry with Hearts preceded me, of course. I've only been there for about a year. And they started this in 2013. The gentleman who is now our board chairman, Roger Wood, had been diagnosed with esophageal and throat cancer. So he went through the entire process. He knows exactly what our clients are going through. And he does a counseling session with each one when they sign up and we go through our initial interview period with them. Then the next step is to talk to him because he understands firsthand what they're going through and the strain that's on their life. So that's the way that it all started out. He saw that need. God put this mission in his heart, and that's where it started, was from seeing the need and then God providing for that need. So over the last 6 years, we have helped about 193 individuals in this county that have been suffering from this disease. Currently, we have 44 active patients, which includes a couple of from here in your congregation, 15 from Heflin alone. Now, our program stretches across because of one of our funding initiatives. We get a grant from the Community Foundation across the state line out of Georgia. So we're able to help people in Carrollton, Harrelson, and Heard counties, which is good because we have very good relationship with those patient advocates. They do a lot of the work for us. They fill out our applications and they get the documentation that we need. They have the gas cards to give out. They have the coupons for the nutritional supplements that they help out. We work as a team to handle or to take care of those people. In Cleburne County or in Alabama, we have clients in Cleburne County, Calhoun County, Randolph County, and a couple in Clay County. So we were also able to get a grant from the Community Foundation of East Alabama. That's about $10,000 together, okay? So keep that in mind. That's only grant funding. People like you, churches like you, businesses, individuals have taken up the slack. And in 2018 alone, we received, now get this, we received $24,124 earmarked specifically for the cancer program. So that's $24,000, okay? Our promise to the community is that 100% of that would go right back out into the community. It doesn't go to research, which research is a wonderful tool. And yes, we need to find a cure for this cancer, but we all know what the cure is. It's God. Only He can cure it. Yes, research is important to come up with ways of treating the symptoms, but the monies that we receive go right back out in the community, paying power bills, paying for gas cards, paying for food and nutritional supplements, incontinence supplies, things like that. That's what this money goes for. And in 2018, we paid out $23,806 worth of bills for that. So far in 2019, we've received $33,548. Now that's $33,000. As of the end of June, we have been able to help 27,847 people. I mean, $47 worth of bills. Now that is amazing. That is God. Let me tell you, that's God. This is caring, loving individuals giving to this program. As I tried to say at the beginning, we try to be good stewards of everything God gives us. There is not one dime of administrative cost that comes out of that because there is so much pain and so much burden that's out there, and we try to help. Now, as far as eligibility, there's not a financial requirement that anyone has to make. They come in, we do a one-on-one with them, they explain their situation to us, we do have them fill out an application, which kind of just gets their specifics of where they live, things like that. We require ID, and then we do require a diagnosis and a treatment plan from whatever doctor that they use. And like I said, you know, we serve a 6 to 7 county area, so it could be any doctor within, but we're pretty well known with the local doctors, so you know, we can make a recommendation or a referral for them to go to someone if that need arises. So that's all that we require, and it's a case-by-case basis, and it depends on what that individual needs at that point in time. There's no limit to what we spend on one individual. It's the need, and it's God. They tell us their story, we sit there, we counsel, we pray, and then we do what we feel led to do as far as helping the different individuals. This last year at the Day of Hope, which is the only fundraiser that we have for this ministry, it's a barbecue that we have in April of every year. I think this last year was the 7th annual one. It was wonderful. Thanks to churches like you, you guys adopted, I think you guys adopted 2 or 3 different patients, clients that came in. And what your $25, I think you guys gave, it may have been $100. They were able to come in, bring their family, enjoy the day on us. We wanted them to come in just so we could love on them. They were given T-shirts. You guys were able to. Keith, will you hold up that T-shirt? And I've got one for your mom, too. The church's name is on the back of it. So we were able to do those shirts. That's what your donations went for, is to pay for their meals, their family's meals. They all got a T-shirt. We had a balloon release for the ones that, you know, are no longer with us or just in memory of someone. It was very special. It's the first time we'd ever done that. We raised $20,000 on that day, which was amazing and much needed, as you can see, with what's gone back out in the community. Let me see where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at now. So that kind of gives you an idea of what we do, how your help goes back out into the community. I do want to leave you with one thing. You know, we talk about what cancer does and how hard it is on the families and the loved ones. But what cancer cannot do, what cancer is not. And this poem really kind of... Sorry, Jonathan. He tried to give me one of those lapel mics, and then I broke it, so he took it back. And I walk back and forth, and he said, "Nope, you got to stay right behind the podium." So I'm trying really hard to stay still. But this poem kind of says it all. What cancer is not. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer the spirit. Cancer cannot win. God does. In any and every battle that we go through, He's the answer. So I just want to say thank you for your support. I hope I was able to enlighten you on how your support is used in the county. Prayer is the most important thing that we need, is prayer. So if you have someone that you know of that needs help, send them our way. We make referrals all over, so just give us a heads up, and we would love to help in any way that we can. So, and thank you so much for making us your mission. So we will definitely put this to good use. Thank you.
I appreciate the work they do, and I know Brother Roger and how close it is to his heart. And you don't realize the great need in our county, and how many is affected around us. And we got two that has been to classes, and they're probably shaking, nervous as they can be right now. But they're going to come up and share just a little bit with us of what they went experienced these last 2 days of what they learned of. Lord laid on our heart around the Bible school time of how started. I was wanting outreach for our church. I was looking for something, and nothing ever resonated with me that I wanted us to do. Feeding Cleburne's great. I want to be part of that and everything we can, but I knew there was something special that we was to do. And then it all started falling into place around Bible school time. And I knew what we wanted to do, but I didn't know how to do it. I got online one day at work, and Mama had been going to Cancer Center of America. And I thought I had heard them mention something about it. So I looked up, and I saw this little thing up there in the corner. It said Journey of Hope. So I got with Kay, and Lord's leading her that way too. And so we began looking at this stuff, and they got classes, and they teach you how to start the cancer ministry in your church. So that's what these two ladies learned the last couple of days. Pat's got her 2%, but she said it can be shared really quickly. So y'all come on, and y'all give them a hand, for they got away from real life for 2 days anyway.
Well, I didn't really know exactly what I was in for. I kind of had a misconception. I said so many times, it's a support group. Well, in an area way out here, it is a support group. But we learned it's a ministry. It's a one-on-one ministry. At the same time, it was such, it didn't only touch your heart, it went beyond your heart and it touched your soul. It was 2 days of worship with some, there were 44 of us from 8 states. There were men, there were women, cancer survivors, those at our table that had just finished chemo, just a wide variety of people that we learned to love. There were worship services you just can't imagine. Like I said, it went beyond the heart. It went all the way to the soul. One thing, the journey of hope as Christians, you understand the heart of Christ to minister to those who are suffering. What you gain from this training is practical knowledge and tools to minister to those whose lives have been touched by cancer. Cancer carries a weight of fear. You can imagine going to the doctor and receiving that awful word, cancer. You can imagine immediately you think of death. You've been given a life sentence that you don't feel like you deserve. Overwhelming fear takes over your body every day. So through this support group, you learn that love is the greatest thing you can offer to these people. It's a ministry to encourage, to give courage to those overcome by fear. We have to overcome our own fear. As part of this, you have to, as a caregiver, as a person of this ministry, you have to overcome fear to be able to minister to these people. They're hurting. It affects the entire family. It affects those who are going to be the caregivers. Like I said, it's a one-on-one ministry. You might say, I don't have the time. I don't know how to do this. But believe me, a home visit, a hospital visit, a phone call, a simple, what can I do to make your day better? Can I clean your bathroom? Can I sweep your floor? Whatever. To portray the love of Christ. We had, like I said, the worship services were just fantastic. And I want to read to you Galatians 6:2. I want you to really listen. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And then this passage of scripture was given to us at 2 separate worship services by 2 separate men. And I want to share this with you. When he had come back to Capernaum, when Jesus had come back, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. So many were gathered together so that there were no longer room, not even near the door. He was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralyzed man was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, how many did it take to dig that hole to put that man through there? The emphasis is on four. It took four men. We cannot do this ministry by ourselves. We need you the whole month, entirely month of September, to pray about this. We would like to start our classes and be on board by October 1st. It's 8 weeks. In 2 days, we had 8 weeks. I sincerely hope I got more than 2%. We need you. You know, if there had only been three men trying to put this guy down through the roof, would he have made it? If there had only been two. You know, a table has four legs. If it's only got two, it's going to fall. So I prayerfully ask you to take maybe an hour a week to be a part of this ministry of this church. You know, I believe Robbie said there's 15 in our town right now. We want to help. We want to be Christ-like. So I'm going to let my... We've had such a good time.
We have.
Thank you for letting us do this.
The biggest thing that was emphasized was everybody says that cancer is the big C, but it's not. Christ is the big C. And that was emphasized through everybody that taught, that I thought. You know, and to me, I didn't really guess I understood where cancer come from and where it originates. I mean, there's so many different types, and it's based off your DNA. There were two ladies at our table with breast cancer, and they're both survivors, and they were both total opposites. Their treatment plan was total opposites. But what spoke to me most was for the caregiver. I feel like that's where my heart, it led me the whole time. And it comes from 1 Peter 5:7-9. "Therefore humble yourselves upon the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." There's so many that it affects in our county. But at our table, there was a husband and wife, and me and Pat really thought they were newlyweds. The way that they just kept loving on each other and holding hands. But when his wife was diagnosed with cancer, she said that after the doctor said it's cancer, she heard nothing else. It was like from a peanuts. It was a wah, 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 wah. That's all she heard. And for him, it was he's lost his love of his life. That's all he could think about. And he's a planner, and I could relate to that because I have everything mapped down. I know what I'm going to do. And if it's in my planner and it's in ink, it's happening. But he said this wasn't. This he didn't know what to expect. He could not take control. He took a month off with her just to kind of go to all of her treatments. It put a financial strain on them. But the cancer strengthened their marriage. It made them closer to one another. Their church and community did fundraisers, and that's something that we're known for. We're great at fundraisers because they need it. A lot of talked about different things that they had done. They had brought quarters in just because, as a caregiver, you may be doing treatments and be there for 10 hours, and you may not have a change for 20 to go get a drink. But they need that. The caregivers are huge for this. They spend a lot of time worrying. The patient is fighting, but the caregiver feels powerless. And that was really strong on me as how that's true. They get so caught up in caring for the patient, they neglect themselves. And stress and a poor diet, they can't take care of the person, the patient. Caregivers are honorable individuals, and they need our help and love and prayer. And a lot of times they said that either the patient or the caregiver, they'll run away from God during this. They either go really close or they run away. And that's where we've got to step in and minister to them. And I know with me, I have a lot of fear. But this is what they said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And it's put me in a whole new perspective of fear that I've got to overcome that. And, you know, I think we were sent there because we both have this need, you as a caregiver too. I have a heart for these people because just the little bit of experience I had with April, I know what the family went through and how hard it is. And I know how they can run away or run towards God. And I just hope that we can minister to them and get a stronger relationship.
And just a side note, I thought this was so amazing. In 2018, in the state of Georgia, there were 87,000 cases of cancer. That is just, the United States wide is only 1.7 million cases, but 87,000 right here at us. So, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's, is it for everybody? As Christians, I think, yes, it's for all of us. So now it's up to us, to you. Let's get this ministry going. There's such a need. So I just pray earnestly every day that God has this in store for you. 8 weeks is nothing compared to what this ministry can do. So,
and if it can relieve stress from just that caregiver and to let them be able to go to the patient and their loved one and help them, that's what they need. That's what the patient needs, is just that help. And if we can help relieve some of that stress, that's huge.
Again, I appreciate these two going and giving of their time. And as I talked with each one of them, I talked with Misty on the phone yesterday. Told her, I said, you know, I knew what we needed to do, didn't know how to do it. But the way they have taught them that we can help is basically a one-on-one ministry. Somebody's diagnosed with cancer. We are hopefully going to be known as a place they can come and help them. A church here in the community they can come to. And we'll need going to need volunteers, and which is not going to ask you to commit to anything today. They're going to shoot to have it up and going in October. So you begin praying. So if God laid on your heart to work in this ministry, there'll be everything, be times that you might will need to drive someone if you can. I know it's tough on our church because most of us are at the age where we're still working and different things. So a lot of different needs is going to be, and we'll talk about that later in classes. But I pray that you pray earnestly. And I know, because I've come to know you in 3 years, almost 3 years, I know your heart. I know how great you are, but also know the number one fear of all people is speaking to strangers and speaking in front of people. Pat said she couldn't do this today, and she took up all the time. So that's what happens. You open you be available, and God will give you the strength. I promise you that. So in the way of announcements, again, we thank Miss Robbie Mobley for coming and being with us today from Hearts. Give her another hand. Remember, nominating committee meeting today at 4 o'clock. After that, at 5, we'll have the baptism. It's not on your flyer here. It's not on your bulletin. It's just we're going to do it at 5. And so remember, Dalton's baptism. Come out and support him, help him, pray for him. Come out to church tonight. Let's just have a great time in the Lord. Looking forward to it and excited about it. So as you come out, youth fifth quarter after the game is going to be September the 6th. We're trying to partner with another church or two around us to make this better and stronger, so we'll keep you updated on that. But September 6th, we're going to try to have a fifth quarter either here at another location for the teens, the kids who come from football game, different things, and the gospel will be presented, and that's our plan on that. So Grandparents Day, September the 8th, invite your special senior adults to worship with us, and we'll take them, we'll all go as a group to eat somewhere after the service September the 8th. So be much in prayer for that, and bring those grandparents, invite them to come. Excited to see what the Lord's going to do that day. And also September, I believe, has five Sundays, so we'll have our Each One Reach One that last Sunday, so it'll be a great time to invite them back. So begin inviting people to church. I'm excited to see what God's going to do through this cancer ministry. If you've been here on Sunday nights, we've been going through our little book that Tom Rainer has wrote, A Scrappy Church, and he says something in that book that has stuck with me, and he asked a question. If your church was taken out of the community, if it was taken out of the whole community of Heflin, would it be missed? And boy, that makes you think. Not the building, but the church. What the church does in the community, if it was taken completely out, if we decided to disband, we no longer met here, would the community even know it? Hard question. I hope we become that place that they couldn't live without through this ministry and others that the Lord is putting into gear. I'll go ahead and, I don't know, we're out of time and you're hungry, you want to beat the Methodist to the restaurant, but give me just 1 minute. Lord had laid it on Stephanie's heart a while back about a pregnancy resource center also. And I know you're thinking, boy, that preacher's about to break us. The Lord laid it on her heart. This is how God begins working and getting things going, because I am the king of procrastination. I mean, I can do it with the best of them. But been laying on her heart. You know, Alabama's got one of the strongest abortion laws in the nation, and I love it. I thank God for it. Life is very important. These girls that are in that situation that don't know what to do, what are they doing? They don't know what to do. They thought they had an answer before. What wasn't the answer? Because it's a human life is the greatest thing. God sent his son to die for it. Most important thing to God. So we knew that wasn't right, but what do they do? And so that's what a Pregnancy Resource Center does. So I ask you to be praying about this also, and to get what I was leading to. My boss come to me and he said, what are you doing September 26th at night? And I said, well, I knew he wasn't going to let me off work. I said, I don't know. I said, let me find what you got. He said, I have bought a table at the pregnancy resource thing in West Georgia, and I want you and your wife to go and be part of it with us. I thought, Lord, here you go again. We ain't got this one going good yet. But that'll be coming in the future. We're going to get our cancer thing going first. Not going to jump too many things too fast. We want to get one thing going and be good at it. But keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind. That may be a ministry you're more led towards work with. There's needs of both of them in our community. As far as I know right now, I know there's a health department, but there's just nowhere for them to go. In West Georgia area, out of 240 cases that was brought before them, this is not the girls looking for other answers. The girls who was at the point of having an abortion when they walked in the clinic, out of 240, only one girl had an abortion. It's pretty good numbers. Five or six of them, guy said he didn't know the numbers for sure, five or six was saved through that ministry last year. But 239 babies are born because of that ministry. And that's in West Georgia area over there, which Tallapoosa has become a part of. So y'all pray much for them. Any words, any announcement before we dismiss today? I appreciate your attention. I know it was a different service. You got a blessing. You didn't have to listen to me rant and rave today. So I pray that you pray for our hearts as they do a great work in our community. Again, thank the ones from our church that went to Noonan to learn more about the ministry. And I ask you to be praying, and I pray that God leads you to a point of where you're ready to get involved with this, and that we don't let this fall, that we keep it going. I know God is in it. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with it. If everyone would please stand.